I'm Deborah Owens, and welcome to Wealthy Radio. We start tonight's show with a topic that really hits home for me. More than 40 million Americans serve as caregivers for an older adult in their life. My parents are 88 and 92 and are both suffering from dementia. As our parents and loved ones are living longer, we'll likely have to be responsible for their care in some way. Derek McDaniels, also known as Mr. Elder Care 101, will join us to discuss what you can do to prepare for life as a caregiver. And in our second half, we'll have our Health is Wealth segment with our favorite fitness guru, Coach David Gerton of Live Now Fitness. He's here to talk about how to pay off your health debt. That's right. We invite you to participate in tonight's discussion. Our phone lines are open. Join our conversation at 410-319-8888. You can also send a tweet to @DeborahOwens with the hashtag WealthyRadioChat or leave a message on the Deborah Owens Facebook page. All that and more in just a moment. Everyone, and welcome to Wealthy Radio. I'm Deborah Owens. Today, nearly a quarter of America's caregivers are millennials between the ages of 18 and 34 and are equally likely to be female. And on the other end of that spectrum are caregivers ages 75 or older who are the sole support for their loved one. And many times they are not paid or they get help from relatives and friends. So I'm really excited tonight to have Derek McDaniel, Mr. Elder Care 101. He works with caregivers to provide the absolute best care available to their aging loved ones. He's also a recognized expert in the field of elder care, and he's the host of Mr. Elder Care 101. He's an author. He publishes a lot of articles in national publications like Ebony and Huffington Post. And he also authored the critically acclaimed book, Elder Care, The Essential Guide to Caring for Your Loved One and Yourself. And I'm really excited to have Derek McDaniel, Mr. Elder Care, on Wealthy Radio this evening. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Deborah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Well, you know, I share that this is a topic that really hits home for me. I mean, there's so many. My family, my friends, everyone is going through this. And I almost wonder, I almost sometimes feel like it's like, I don't want to call it an epidemic, but it seems to be impacting just about everybody I know.
Well, I share your hesitancy to call it an epidemic, but the truth of the matter is, right now in America, one out of three adults are in some way impacted by elder care challenges. So that's a lot of folks. And if you look at the statistics that came out of the U.S. Census Bureau, that number will go up to 46% of people within the next 12 to 15 years. So then you're talking about almost one in two. So I guess even though I'm hesitant to call it an epidemic, it probably should be called an epidemic.
And, you know, really, when you think about it, so, for example, when they created Social Security, if you were to look at what our life expectancy was at that point, I think it was like the average male lived to be 63. And I don't think our system is quite set up for us to live so much longer. As I shared in the opening, my mother is 88 and my father is 92. And so we're living almost 30 years beyond retirement age. And
absolutely.
And I'm not quite sure the system is set up to support this risk, which is longevity risk, right?
Right, that's correct. In terms of the system, when Social Security was set up, you're absolutely correct. People did not live as long as they do now. today, the average person that hits age 65 lives to 85. Women live slightly longer, men live slightly less. So in your case, you obviously come from good genes. But the majority of those folks do not prepare properly to live as long as they do. And their caregivers are often caught flat-footed, either in terms of finances, possibly in terms of their professions, or the impacts to their own personal health, which I personally think is the single biggest risk to the caregivers.
Absolutely. And so I guess I want to start, though, Derek, by asking you, how did you get involved in this topic? How did elder care become an area that you were so interested in?
It was a very personal thing for me. I, by education and background, I'm an attorney with an MBA. I was on Wall Street working for J.P. Morgan, or I guess now J.P. Morgan Chase, and my mom was supposed to be the designated caregiver for my grandmother. In fact, my mother relocated from South Carolina to New York specifically to care for my grandmother, but God had other plans in store. So within 6 weeks of my mom's relocation, she passed away suddenly.
Oh, my.
And, well, you know what? Out of tragedy came a blessing because I really do believe I've found my life's calling working in the field of elder care. So, and taking care of my grandmother, that was a joy anyway, because she and I had always been extremely close. So I entered the profession as a caregiver, as a client. And over time, one thing or another one led me to becoming an industry professional.
So how long was that? How long ago was that?
Oh, wow. Time goes fast. It's been almost 20 years now.
Oh, my.
So,
and so
yeah,
you were fairly young at the time. So
yes.
How did you handle that?
Well, as I said, for me, it was a lot easier transition than it is for most folks, because my grandmother and I had always been close. So, for example, even prior to my mother's death, every Sunday I spent the afternoon at my grandmother's house. So we'd have dinner together, we'd hang out, so on and so forth. That actually merged into caregiving, although I didn't recognize it at the time. Like, she would say things along the lines of, hey, since you're coming over anyway, would you mind stopping at the supermarket and picking up something? I didn't realize at the time what she was saying, and in fact, I don't think she recognized it, but what she was saying in that moment was, hey, going to the supermarket is becoming a little bit more difficult for me. Can you help me out? And see, so in my book, I break out caregivers into two different types of caregivers, at least in the form of how they're introduced to caregiving. I was a gradual caregiver in that it went from, could you maybe stop by the supermarket and pick something up, to, hey, I need a rock, or can you maybe help me out with this and that? So mine was gradual, but that's actually the smallest category.
Mm-hmm.
The other category is far larger, and that's the what I call the crisis caregivers. And those are the folks that go to work one day, and as they're sitting at their desk or doing whatever they do, they get a phone call that says, hey, mom just had a heart attack. Dad just had a stroke. Grandma fell down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And in that moment, they've become caregivers. And for them, the adjustment is most difficult because, for example, I talked to a lady very recently who she was at work. Her mom had a heart attack. And thank goodness, the lady survived, but 4 days later, mom was back home. So in 4 days, she had to emotionally get her head around the fact that her mom just had this significant health scare, put in place a process to make sure that mom was getting all of the care and help that she needed, change around her diet, change around her work schedule, change around her personal life. I mean, there's 50 different things that have to happen very quickly, and it is the reason why caregivers so quickly get overwhelmed. with caregiving responsibilities if they're not careful and if they're not prepared.
Yeah, and what I've heard, too, is that the stress of being the caregiver oftentimes impacts their health. And so they admit it sometimes need care as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to invite our listeners, though. If you're just joining us, this is Wealthy Radio. I'm Deborah Owens, and we're having a conversation that is certainly within our wheelbarrow of wealth, and that is elder care. And so many people are facing this, and we'd love to hear from you. Perhaps you're listening to this program and you're someone who is the main caregiver for your for a loved one. We'd love to hear from you, and maybe you can share your insight and what you've learned. Perhaps you are someone that knows at some point you're going to have to address this area. What do you do to prepare? Well, my guest this evening is Derek McDaniel. He is Mr. Elder Care 101, and so he's here to give us the 411 on what we need to do. So the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. Or you can send a tweet to @DeborahOwens with the hashtag Wealthy Radio Chat, or you can go to our Facebook page, and that's the Deborah Owens page. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. We're talking elder care in this first half. So talk to us a little bit about what do we all need to do to prepare and so that we can make a transition that is not filled with a lot of the, stress and pitfalls, and find ourselves in a situation where now we've got our own health at risk.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would tell people is to recognize and accept that they are a caregiver. A lot of that stress comes from people not wanting to acknowledge, either to themselves, perhaps to their bosses, or even to other family members, that they are indeed the caregiver for an elderly loved one. So that's the first thing. Second, in terms of preparation, I tell people all the time, first and foremost, everything else you can get back if you need to, but your health has to be your first priority. So it's sort of like when you get on a plane and they tell you you can't, or first, if the mask drop down, put the mask on yourself first before you try and put the oxygen mask on someone else. Well, that's exactly what caregiving is. You can't care for someone else if you've passed out from oxygen deprivation yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the very first thing. You have to take care of yourself. The issue there becomes people feel guilty taking care of themselves, because they almost feel as though they're taking away from their loved one. And so they have to reposition that within themselves and understand that they're not doing it for themselves. They are, in fact, doing it for their loved one. That's first. Second, in terms of preparations, financial preparation really should be second. And this is why it's such a relevant topic for your show, because a lot of people don't understand just how expensive elder care can be. So just some high-level numbers here. The national average in 2016, the national average for a private nursing home room was over $98,000 per year. In terms of assisted living, for a semi-private room, the cost was over $60,000 per year. For home care, it was anywhere between $40,000 and $80,000 per year. And for adult daycare, it was roughly $100 per day. Now, those were national averages. I live in the Northeast, specifically in New Jersey. And that $98,000 is really closer to about $130,000 where I live.
Goodness.
So, yes. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money. Good.
Absolutely.
Grief. I'm going to go to these phone lines, though. 410-319-8888. We've got Mr. Elder Care 101 on the air with us this evening, and he's sharing what you need to do to prepare. The phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. If you are a caregiver, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you have a question just about elder care and what you need to do to prepare, give us a call, 410-319-8888. Cheryl, you've got a question or comment for us this evening?
Yes. Hello, Mr. Albakia and Deb Owens. I'm calling because I have I've been put in the position now where I live in Maryland, getting ready to sell my house to move to Rhode Island to help my sister and brother take care of my mother, who is now, well, will be in July, 104 years old. And I'm finding that lately I have gone up there twice in the last 2 months to help them out and just to get an idea of what I would be put into. It's very difficult. I find that I'm asking about getting, like, support groups to get involved in a support group because 2 weeks' time that I've been there, or say 3 weeks, I find it very draining.
Mm.
I just got back this morning from being up there for a week. And my sister works part-time, but they're, like, 10 and 14 years older than I. And I find that they need help as well. So when I go there, I'm not just going to be taking care of my mother, even though my brother and sister won't admit, I'll be actually helping them out as well because I can see they need as much assistance as my mom. So support groups. How does one go about getting involved in a support group that someone like myself would need someone to? Because I'm a Christ follower, so I rely on God's word as far as taking me through a lot, but sometimes I do need someone that is experiencing the same thing that I am, that I could bounce things off of and get some ideas on how I can work through this.
Okay, that's excellent. Excellent. Cheryl, let him answer that question. So talk to us about how you find a support group, Derek.
Okay. Well, there are several different ways to go about that, and I got to tell you, you are so smart to look into a support group. That's one of the most difficult things for most people to admit, that they do need that help. So you're four steps ahead of the game right out of the box. Now, in terms of where you find them, there are different places. Depending upon your schedule and your locale, for some people, it's easier to find online support groups. And when looking for support groups, they break out in different ways. Some support groups are only for women, some are for men, some break down in terms of the elder's specific condition, maybe ALS or Alzheimer's or what have you. That's one way. And a lot of people do find the online support groups to be very helpful and very accommodating for their schedules and so on and so forth. You'd be surprised how many people are participating in support groups at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning because that's the only time that they have free. So that's number one. A second way to find support groups may be through your local United Way or your local area on aging. If those don't work, feel free to reach out to the local mayor's office or even the governor's office. You'll be surprised. Elder care is such a big topic now that quite often the governor's offices in almost every state, they will be able to point you in the direction of various resources. And that's also a good thing to keep in mind, even in terms of your financial preparations.
That's excellent advice. Cheryl, was that helpful?
And very much so, because it also encompasses what I was going to say about financially as well, because she doesn't want to go in a nursing home, and yet she does have a little money. But, you know, as you have stated that, you know, it costs so much money now to have someone even home care. They're talking $22 an hour, you know, to come into someone's home. And my mother is holding on her independence through her money. That's the way I look at it. And because, you know,
most of
who
them
knew
do.
She was going to live to be this long, where, you know, her money, praise God, has been able to stretch out to a certain degree, but only for so long. So once she gets into a place, her money's going to run out. So what do you do after that with an elder care?
Oh, that's a great question.
You know?
So you have money, and so at what point do you qualify for actual Medicare once you spend your assets down, Derek? That's a good question.
Okay, well, Medicare is essentially the insurance for any person that turns 65 in this country who's essentially paid into the system for the 10 previous years or more. So that's Medicare. Medicaid, yes. Well, no, those two are very, very confusing. And
okay.
Most people get them backwards, myself included, frequently sometimes. But the Medicaid is what people kind of sort of consider the health care for the poor or the disabled. And that's actually not accurate because you have a lot of middle-income people and some upper-income people who utilize Medicaid to finance their elder care expenses. In fact, financial advisors over the last decade have become so much more savvy when it comes to doing that it's now almost a standard package for upper-income people to utilize those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing of it is, though, and this is essential, you have to put these strategies in place before you start incurring the expenses. Once you start incurring the expenses, there's almost nothing that can be done. In fact, there really is nothing that can be legally done to offset those expenses. But if you prepare for it, you can utilize Medicaid strategies. You can utilize various products, whether those be long-term care insurance products. You have very
but at her mother's age at 104, you know, that whole insurance it would probably be unaffordable. And so at the end of the day, Cheryl, I think what Derek is saying that there are strategies out there, but more than likely she needs to deal with someone who is knowledgeable about estate planning and elder care. And so that's really what I think you need to do at this point, Cheryl.
Yeah, and you know, what he actually touched on is one of the things that I never even thought of, that now with the mayor's office and the governor's office, and with me moving there and having knowledge in some areas, might even be something I can put in place. I don't know. I'm just gonna be prayerful about this, and hopefully it all works out. But with this information, has already given me some insight on what I can do moving forward.
Yes, but Cheryl, he has a lot of resources. So, Derek, if you could, thanks so much for calling in, Cheryl. If you could,
thank you. Give out
your information so folks know how to get access to a lot of this you cover in your book, and you also have a weekly podcast coming on as well, right?
Yes, I do. The best place to find me and the various pieces of information is always going to be the MrElderCare101.com website. So that's MrElderCare, ElderCare, 101.com website. That's always the best place. Everything that I do, I post up there, as well as on my Twitter feed. So, and that's MrElderCare101 at Twitter. The other thing, and I'll just say this for the listeners, and Deborah, I agree with you 100%. The insurance products, in terms of buying insurance, without question, it's when you're 104,
The ideal time actually to buy long-term care insurance really is in your 50s. However, you know, people often feel like they're paying, what if they don't need elder care, and that they're putting money into a hole, when in fact that's when it's the most affordable.
Well, absolutely. And 40% of people who do utilize their long-term care insurance policies are under the age of 65. So something can happen to them.
That's right.
Whereas they fall down at work or what have you, or they get into a car accident, God forbid, And so those long-term care insurance policies can come into effect much earlier. The key, though, is to look at the riders that come with the policy.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that if, in fact, you do utilize your policy prior to being 65, you want to make sure you get one of the riders that essentially says you can then start building it back up again. So let's say you have a $500,000 policy and you utilize $100,000. You want to be able to have that policy build back up to the $500,000 point so that you can then utilize the full benefit of the policy once you do turn 65. So the riders on all of those policies are what's most important.
Good point. Great information. You know, so many people, like I said, I'm not the actual caregiver any longer. I'm not the actual caregiver. My parents are in Detroit, and so my siblings are kind of managing that situation between them. You know, I'm taking care of the financial aspects of it, but it can be quite stressful, and I think we need to have more of a conversation around these types of issues, because I almost feel like it's the caregivers that are suffering in silence, and so, like, I had an aunt, and my uncle actually had early onset Alzheimer's, and she cared for him for 15 years. And, you know, she was a nurse, though, so she was kind of wired for that. But no, this is a topic that's impacting everybody. And I really just admire the focus that you're putting on it, Derek. And again, we're up to the half hour. We're out of time. But again, please give out your website.
Oh, yes, definitely. You can always find me at MrElderCare101.com. Or via Twitter.
And that's Mr. Eldercare 101 on Twitter. Excellent. Derek, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been our pleasure. Well, don't go anywhere, folks, because coming up next, we're talking about health and wealth, but tonight we're talking about your health debt. Don't go anywhere. Joining me next is David Gerton, Coach Gert from Live Now Fitness. We're going to talk about what you need to do to get your health on. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wealthy Radio. Man, that was some good old Motown sound. I felt like I was back at home again in Detroit. But no, we're talking health is wealth in this segment. I'm so excited because once again, we have Coach Gert of Live Now Fitness. Coach Gert is just an amazing trainer, and he's doing awesome things with women. He has all kinds of contests, and he had a little black dress contest recently showing women how they can get fit and get into that black dress that they used to fit into. And he's always welcome on these airwaves. You need to check out his website, livenowfitness.com. Coach Gert, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, I want to talk about, you know, we always have these conversations, Coach Gert, about how attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors around health and wealth kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, certainly addressing both of those issues really requires a shift. And I want to invite folks, if you're listening to this program, to check out Coach Gert's video on YouTube, just Google David Gerton health debt and it'll come up. And I keep watching that video over and over, but something that you said really stuck with me. And it was like the same person that put on all that health debt cannot take it off. And so that not only applies to, you said it applies to debt, the same person that got in debt can't be the same person that gets out. And the same thing certainly applies to health. So talk to us a little bit about your whole concept around health debt.
Well, it always goes back to mindset. And when someone new comes into my office, you know, they come in and they've built up a huge health debt. You know, they're pre-diabetic, their cholesterol is high, they can't move the way that they used to move. The first thing that we have to deal with is their mindset. You know, the mindset that got them to where they are, building up that huge health debt, we have to pretty much eliminate that person and build a whole new person to pay off, to begin paying off that health debt. So it all starts with their mindset, Deborah.
Yeah, so what do you do? I mean, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down with the client around, it's not just about weighing them and what are their inches and where do they want to go. What does someone have to do to kind of change their mindset around health? What needs to happen?
First off, we talk about their why, like your why. Why are you doing it? Right, it can't be just because I want to lose weight. Right, it's the why that I'm always looking for is quality of life. Right, so you come in and your quality of life is jacked up. So now let's talk about the mindset that it's going to take to get your quality of life to where it's superior.
Well, let's break that down mm-hmm. just a bit. When you say quality of life, what do you mean? Give us some examples of how that shows up in somebody's life.
Yeah, so their quality of life. So I just mentioned, you know, they come in, they're pre-diabetic, their cholesterol is high. So for one, they're on meds more than likely. You know, their energy is low, they have headaches, and they just can't move the way they would like to move, right? So those are the quality of life indicators that we look at first. And then we start to talk about how can we improve that, right? And it's one step at a time, and it begins with their mind. If they don't change their mind, they're not going to be able to change their habits.
Okay, and so let's talk about, and again, if you're just joining, I would love for our audience to join in this conversation. I'm talking with Coach Gert, David Gerton of Live Now Fitness, and he's done some amazing things with women, transforming them health-wise, because it's an inside job. Perhaps you're listening to this program and you've got some health debt. You need to make change your mindset around your health and wellness. We want to hear from you this evening. 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. Love to hear from some folks from Live Now Fitness who maybe changed their mindset. And would you be willing to share what you needed to do to really make a change? And perhaps you're listening to this program and you too had some, you know, health, as Coach Gert put it, had some issues around your quality of life that needed to change. We really want to help to inspire folks to know that if they believe it, they can achieve it. And oftentimes they can't be what they can't see. And so when you have examples of other people who've been able to do that, it's wonderful to hear it from the horse's mouth. So again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. This is our Health is Wealth segment on Wealthy Radio, because without health, doesn't matter how much wealth you have. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. So David, you know, like mm-hmm. mindset, what are some things that people work on, you work with people on?
Mindset, first, they have to believe. A lot of times people come in, and it's just what you said, if you believe it, you can achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people come in, and they've done all these different things, and, you know, they've been, you know, semi-successful here and there, but no one ever worked with them on their mindset. So we start right from the beginning, and we want them to believe in themselves. So we start with the first thing is we get them to fill out a goal sheet. And the goal sheet has to include more than just I want to lose this many pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We really have to identify the why of why you want to have a better quality of life.
Yeah, because you got you need something to motivate you.
Yeah, it's got to be.
You know, it's got to be something like when that, you know, when that cheesecake is calling you, you can be like, nah, that's not even in the plans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's got to be that big why. You know what I mean? Maybe it's I want to see my, you know, I want to run around with my grandchildren, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a real big why to improve your quality of life. Maybe, you know, I've had people that say, hey, I want to actually get on an airplane and not have to buy two seats.
That's where I was going.
Right.
When we were talking about quality of life. I don't want to feel embarrassed.
Exactly.
You know, like people are looking at me. And, you know, I think it wasn't as bad back in the day, but in this culture where everybody's focused on appearance, people can be cruel.
Yeah. And I mean, and then you look at all the images that are coming across the TV screen. You know what I mean? People buy into those images and, you know, they start to cower and they sit at home and they eat more and they're more out of shape. Even though the images portrayed on TV, we get all these small images.
Yeah, they aren't even real.
They're not even real.
They're Photoshopped.
Yeah, and then if you look at the majority of our population, that doesn't fit the majority of our population.
Not at
all. But we're getting bigger
all.
And bigger and bigger, and our quality of life is getting worse and worse and worse.
That's it. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. Coach Gert on the line with us for our Health is Wealth segment. Let's go to, is it Cherie?
Yes, this is Cherie Good.
Hi, Cherie.
Hey, Coach Gert, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just wanted to chime in. Being in the health industry myself, I totally agree that mindset definitely has a large part to do with it. If we take out the concept that we are depriving ourselves of something instead of rewarding our bodies for better behavior as far as what we're ingesting and how we're treating our bodies, then that's the biggest part right there. And knowing your why, because my why was my dad died at 59 from a heart attack in his sleep.
There you go.
Now I'm directly predisposed to heart disease, so I have to manage my health better. So I just wanted to chime and say great job.
No, I love it. And Cherie, please, you can go ahead and give a shout out. Girl, you're on your 7th expo this year.
Yes, ma'am.
And we want to get folks whatever we need to do to get folks up and moving. So tell folks about your expo and how they can participate.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it. This Saturday, May 27th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Pikesville, Maryland. I'm hosting the 7th annual Let's Get Serious and Recharge Expo. It's totally free for the entire family. You can come out and get free health testing. You can get a full assessment for totally free. You can even get dental screens for your kids. And we work out the entire time from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's totally free to the community. So come on out and join us. We'd love to have you. It's time to get serious about your health.
Thank you so much, Cherie. Thanks for investing in our Health is Wealth segment.
Thank you.
All right. Well, and you know what? She said something that is just like so true, and that is really connecting to our health, right? Like when you talked about quality of life, I believe that with money and with health that you have to be able to make that emotional connection. And you gotta feel it, and it in order to make that really mindset shift, David.
Indeed, you do. You have to feel it in the depths of your soul. You have to feel every bit of it, and that why becomes so big that you can't ignore it, because that's what happens. You know what I mean? People don't come to the table with a why when they're talking about improving their quality of life. So they're able to ignore it, and they say, hey, you know what? I'm going to eat this. I'll be okay. But when you look at that why, and that why is real big, you're like, you know what? I can do without cheesecake today.
Well, you know, I love that video. So I want to, again, I want folks to see this video. Go to just Google David Gurdon, health debt. Let's talk about the concept of health debt and how you explained it. I want folks to hear it, David. So when you talk about health debt, how do we actually accrue it and how do we then get rid of it?
Well, we accrue it with every single choice that we make, Deborah. Right. So when you choose not to exercise regularly, when you choose not to drink plenty of water, when you you buy into the whole I'm going to grind all the way around the clock, you know what I mean? I'm not going to get the sleep that I need. You're building up a debt and it starts to show up in, you know, when the creditors start to call you, when you're building up a financial debt, the creditors start to call. They want their money. Well, the creditors that start to call on your body is, you know, the diabetes, the cholesterol, the achy knees, and they want to get paid off in some type of way, right? Either they're going to break you down or you can start to do what you need to do to pay that health debt off. And that's in the reverse. You're drinking plenty of water, you're eating your greens, you're exercising regularly, and then we begin to pay off the health debt.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The reason why I love the way you framed health debt is because it's not just subtraction, you know, addition and subtraction, right?
Right.
It really, what you're talking about is adopting the healthy behaviors like drinking water, like getting sleep, that really impact how we, like, we could eat less and still gain weight just because of our behaviors, not getting enough sleep, not enough water, and being in stressful situations. And sometimes you know, that's what I had to come through. Oh, okay, I'm not sleeping. I'm not drinking enough water. I'm working out, but I'm not maybe seeing the outcomes that I want because I haven't really truly embraced the behaviors that are going to give me the overall results that I need just from my health being where it needs to be.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to come full circle with it. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'll be okay. It's just like with you coaching people to pay off their financial debt, right? It's pretty much the same concept. They can't be the same person that got into debt.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I love the way you said it, because it really is just an accumulation of choices that we make every day that ultimately gives us the outcome that we have.
Indeed.
Let's go to these phone lines, 410-319-8888. I'm Deborah Owens, and this is Wealthy Radio right here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And my conversation in the second half is with David Gurdon, or Coach Gert, as he's fondly known by all the folks that he helps through his Live Now Fitness Lab. You need to go to his website, livenowfitness.com. Perhaps you are struggling around this. Perhaps you have a health debt and you're trying to figure out how to pay it off. We'd love to hear from you. 410-319-8888, or send us a tweet at Deborah Owens, hashtag Wealthy Radio Chat, or go to our Facebook page, the Deborah Owens page. Let's go to Susan. You're on the air. Question or comment for us this evening?
Hi. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the program, and I am really appreciative of the discussion around choices and how they affect our health. And only thing that concerns me in terms of the current healthcare debate in general is I think it's really easy in America for us to kind of slip into victim blaming in the sense that, and I want to clarify, that not all health problems are a matter of lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are health problems that are unfortunately, you know, infective, things that may be beyond our control. And additionally, in my case, I was actually harmed in a medical situation. And as a result of that, I found it very, very difficult to get good health care because the industry tends to be very self-protective. So I think it's really good for people to make the best choices they can and be positive and take responsibility. But at the same time, I think we have to be careful about adopting this idea that everything is sort of within our control or, you know.
No, I totally get that. And the other thing, Susan, the same thing would be true, you know, if we were to look at financial situations, right?
Absolutely.
Like, the same thing applies. Like, you know, some people have more privilege. Some people came from, their parents had wealth, so they were, it wasn't as difficult for them. Some people, you know, grew up in, had a tough childhood, or their parents weren't able to give them, or they were in foster care. No. There are no generalizations, but I totally get where you're coming from.
Absolutely.
Can you speak to that, David? Because I know you work with a lot of people who have, you know, some challenges health-wise. And so what kind of advice would you give someone who wants to make the right, you know, wants to be healthy but has some impediments just based on, you know, their own health situation?
I mean, it just goes back to you start where you are. You know what I mean? All of us are going to have a different foundation to build upon. It's really that simple. So, you know, we have people come in at all different types of levels. They come in with stuff that they've been predisposed to, and we start them where they are. They do what they can based on that.
Yeah, I can tell that you're very positive and you know, not suggesting that you're victim blaming at all, but I do think that in our culture we have a tendency to have a sort of a saint theory.
I totally appreciate your point of view, because we're all on the one hand, we're all going through the same thing, but on the other hand, our journeys were all different.
Different.
Totally, yeah. Totally appreciate your calling in, Susan. Thanks so much for the comment and perspective.
Thank you.
All righty. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. It's our Health is Wealth segment, and we're talking with Coach Gert. If you want to learn more about the concept of how to pay off your health debt, what are some of the things that you need to do to really change your mindset and get serious about making some changes, give us a call, 410-319-8888. Let's go to LaKeisha. You're on the air. A question or a comment from us?
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
Hey, LaKeisha.
How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for the information that you're providing. So I was on my journey to pay my health debt, as you said. So I was meal prepping. I was working out twice a day, working, walking 5 miles in the morning. I even started sprinting and doing weights at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an injury. So I hurt my knee, and then I also had plantar fasciitis. And at one point, I like literally had to crawl to the bathroom in the morning because it was that painful.
Wow.
So I'm going through physical therapy right now. In the course of that, I've gained weight, not only because I couldn't work out the way I used to, but because my mindset, I've literally gotten depressed because I couldn't, like, do what I was doing. So I was eating bad, making poor choices. That was all on me. So now, as I'm going through physical therapy and as I'm getting my eating back together, I wanted to know, can you recommend some exercises, or do you work with people who have are recovering from injury?
Absolutely. And it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, we would assess you, and we would start you where you are, right? Because we all go through changes. That's just like me. I can't jump the way I could 5 years ago, so I had to change my program. So you, with the injuries and going through physical therapy, we'd have to do the same thing, but I couldn't just give you exercises without assessing you first.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to suggest, LaKeisha, you go to his website, livenowfitness.com, and just reach out to him. I mean, I can tell you that one of the things and how we met was through his fitness studio. And, you know, I think one of the things that you're really good at, David, is most of your clients are middle-aged,
yeah.
and, you know, have some issues
right.
and, you know, can't be doing plyometrics. And you have all kinds of, like, the TRSX, the cables, the things that take the weight, you know, where it's not high impact. So, Lakeisha, I want to highly recommend that you reach out and
check
it out. Yeah,
I'd love to help you out, but, you know, just giving you some random exercises, you know, over the radio wouldn't do you justice. We'd have to see, you know, how you're moving to give you the right stuff.
Oh, I completely understand that. The physical therapist is telling me to do the bike, which I find it so boring. But what's your website one more time? I'm sorry.
So it's
livedownfitness.com, livenowfitness.com.
Okay. Perfect. Once I get home, because I'm driving now.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
Thank
definitely.
You so much.
And just go to my Twitter feed or Facebook, and you can, and all the information is there.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay,
thank you.
Appreciate calling. You know, it's interesting just listening to Lakeisha. David, I can't tell you how many people suffer in silence. You know,
I think,
you know, we have a tendency to be so hard on ourselves. And I think the other aspect about what you do really at Live Now Fitness is the whole community of support that you've built with the people that attend your gym.
Yeah, because then there's always somebody that they can identify with, you know what I mean, in the community. So, you know what I mean? Oh, that person has this. Once they start to communicate with one another, oh, they have a similar why to mine. And then it builds in that support and accountability.
Yeah, and you
huge.
Know what? There's nothing like, you know, it's one thing for you to feel progress, right, and to start seeing progress, and that can certainly impact you. But, you know, one of the things I want to invite people to go to Live Now Fitness, because you have a lot of before and afters, like transformations,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like, you know, I was 150 and now I'm 110. No, these are real folks making changes that, you know, in health, you know, I ran into the guy that plays the bass in our
David, yeah.
Yeah, in our church, and man, he has really transformed.
Yeah, and it's just not, it's what you alluded to, it's not all about the weight. You know what I mean? Quality of life is a lot more than just losing pounds. You know what I mean? It is it falls back to the mindset. You know what I mean? People, how you say they suffer in silence, but when they get in here and their why becomes big, then they start to say, hey, you know what? I actually am not going to suffer in silence anymore. I'm going to tell my story, and I'm going to tell my story big time. And that pays off the health debt over time.
Excellent. Well, we've got a comment or a question on Twitter. Gertrude Nettles, she really related to this health debt. Having AFib and asthma, trying to reduce weight before things get even worse, working things almost 4 years, any advice welcome? Yeah, I mean, when you've got a lot going on, though, David, you know, I know you don't want to give exercise advice, but what are some things that, some lifestyle changes that people can make that can have ultimately impact their overall health outcomes?
Well, simple things. Sit less, right? Walk more.
Yes.
Right? So we sit a lot more between, you know, social media, our phones, our cars. We're sitting a lot more than our parents and grandparents and their parents sat. So that would be the easiest, simplest advice I would give someone,
mm-hmm.
is to just get up more, right? Don't sit at your desk for an hour without getting up. You know what I mean? Throw on a timer and get up every 15 minutes. Just a little simple things like that. You know, they've heard it before. Park farther away from the door, right, so that you have a little bit more walk. Take a flight of stairs. Right? You don't have to take whole six flights up to your office, but take a flight. You know, that'll start to pay off your health debt over time.
Oh, I love that. You know, and those small changes work not only with health, but actually in wealth. You know, paying off debt, you didn't get into it all at one time. You're not going to get out of it all at one time. And then You know, the same thing holds true with your health. David, I just love, love, love your perspective and how you're always sharing with us what we need to do to get our health on. Thanks so much for coming on this evening. Please let folks know how to get in touch with you.
Yes, it is livenowfitness.com, LiveNowFitness.com.
And do you have any
on Twitter as well?
Yeah, you do you have any like new contests or promotions or anything going on?
Well, we'll be coming back with the little black dress in a few months, so people can get on the wait list for that, because that's going to be bigger than it was this time.
Excellent. Well, go to livenowfitness.com, sign up for his newsletter. David, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Deborah.
All right, folks. All right. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next is Fiesta Musicale. Big shout out to the Wealthy Radio team, Samantha McCoy, senior producer, Andre Melton, engineer. Big shout out to my best friend and, of course, the love of my life, Terry Owens. That's going to do it for me this evening, folks. Have a prosperous week, everybody, and good night.